The story is told of a young man, eager to make it to the top, who went to a well-known millionaire businessman and asked him for the first reason for his success. Well, the businessman answered without hesitation. "Hard work," he said. After a lengthy pause, the young man asked, "What's the second reason?" "It's human nature always to want to find the easy way. And yes, there are some, many perhaps, who like to take on all sorts of difficult challenges. We think of the current survivor rages going on at the moment. But in all of these things, there's usually an easy way of doing it, and there's a hard way of doing it. And sometimes the only way of doing it is the hard way. But for most things, the easy way usually gets our vote." Jesus and his disciples were at Caesarea Philippi. Their ministry to this point had been a stunning success. Crowds pressed in on them everywhere they went. People eagerly reached out to touch this inspiring young teacher from Nazareth. The disciples themselves were caught up in all of the excitement of it all. So our passage today, however, from Matthew's account of the gospel, needs to be seen somewhat within the context of what has just preceded it. In the previous passage to the one that we're looking at today, Jesus has posed a question to his disciples. And the question was, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And well, after some general responses were given, Simon Peter answered enthusiastically, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." It was one of the most dramatic moments in this disciples' pilgrimage with Jesus. And then Jesus changed the subject. On the top of this inspired declaration and right in the middle of his soaring popularity, Jesus begins to tell them that the crowds would soon turn against him, that he would be crucified, and that on the third day he would be raised again. The disciples didn't quite know what to make of all this, and so Simon Peter took Jesus aside and said, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." Jesus' response to Simon Peter, however, is as harsh as any words in the New Testament. "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Now, perhaps Jesus called Simon Peter Satan because of his own experience in the wilderness immediately after his baptism by John. It was there that Satan tempted Jesus to take the easy way out of what was to come. "Easy. All of these things I will give you if you just fall down and worship me." That's all he had to do. Simple. We can see Satan almost everywhere today, offering us the easy way in our Christian life. Sometimes it can be found in certain doctrines that promise blessing if you just give a little bit more. Not too long ago, a particular television ministry was offering to send viewers a brand new iPad filled with all of their exclusive Bible study material already on it. All you had to do was donate a mere $5,000 or more to their ministry. That's about five times the cost of the iPad. Tempting, isn't it? Sometimes it's seen in attitudes like, "Well, surely God doesn't expect me to go to church every Sunday. Gosh, that'd be overdoing it a bit, wouldn't it?" Or, "I'm really a good person, so I don't really need to worry about confessing my sins. God wouldn't condemn me, surely." I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it." The easy way, you see, is not necessarily the best way. And I guess that goes for a lot of things in life. Jesus encountered Satan, this time in Simon Peter. "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." In spite of all Jesus' popularity among the people, he's telling his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to complete his God-given mission to save the world by dying on the cross. Not the easy way, the only way. You see, Peter, like many of the Jews, thought that the Messiah would be a military ruler who would drive out the Romans and restore Israel to the glory days of the reign of King David. And so Jesus, forecasting his own death as part of God's plan, must have come as a huge shock. If he were to die, surely it would be on the battlefield, fighting against oppression and injustice. And then if there is any doubt that Jesus is resisting the lure of the easy way, listen to the words that follow. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus wasted no time in dealing with Satan, and neither should we. When those temptations come our way to take the easy way, to relax our faith so that it fits in with our schedule, or take the path of least resistance, we should deal with them just the same way that Jesus did. We must keep our focus set on God and ask him to reveal his good and perfect will to us. He knows the plan and outcome of our lives. We can trust him fully because he knows exactly what the future holds for us. Jesus knew that the road he would have to travel would lead to self-denial and the cross, and he urges his followers to be prepared to pay the price and to suffer the consequences if they too want to follow the same road of life. We, as his followers, have to sacrifice our own interests in favour of serving Christ. Our personal goals and interests have to take on a secondary importance if we want to receive eternal life. And when we do, we will fulfill God's life-giving purpose. Now, this concept isn't easy to understand. We probably hear about it often enough from the pulpit, but it's not always easy to put into practice. Spiritual growth takes place slowly. It takes a lifetime, and even as we reach the end of that journey, our understanding is far from perfect. For example, Jesus repeatedly told his disciples about the suffering that awaited him in Jerusalem, but they didn't understand fully what that meant until after the resurrection. The Holy Spirit had not yet come, and their eyes and their minds were as yet blinded to the eternal things of God. However, after they saw and met the resurrected Christ, they understood. They knew that he was the Saviour. Fortunately, God's word always bears fruit just at the right time. We also then need to take up our cross. We take up the cross of Jesus any time that we suffer in some way for identifying with him and his cause. Cross-bearing does not always include the kind of persecution that Jesus and his disciples faced. It may mean denying what we deeply desire in order to do the will of God. When we obey him, we position ourselves for great blessing. We're able to take up our crosses, knowing that God will bear them with us. When Jesus said that those who want to save their lives will lose them, and vice versa, he was right. Our world is full of examples of people who have sold their souls by using all kinds of material and physical things to find happiness in life, only to be disappointed. With God, though, there is another way. Through his life, suffering, death on the cross, and resurrection, Jesus saves us by showing us the way to a life of God's forgiveness, love, and grace. All given without conditions, no strings attached. God provides for us the chance to live a life with a full range of possibilities that are potentially present everywhere with us. Our crosses might not lead to death, but they can lead to other forms of persecution. It could be in the form of rejection by friends or family. Our careers might be affected. And all of these are a small price that we must be prepared to pay as we take up the cross of Christ on the road of life. Just like Jesus and Simon of Cyrene had to carry the cross to Golgotha. What that will require will depend on our calling. And we can discern that calling through prayer, reading the Bible, keeping our eyes and our hearts open to see the challenges that Christ sends our way. The cross that Jesus commands us to carry is the cross of submissive obedience to his will. Even when it includes suffering and hardship and things that we perhaps don't want to do. It's willingness to totally, absolutely, irrevocably and finally yield our lives to him because we want what he wants more than what we want. And then we take up our cross, and when we take up our cross and follow Christ, we will bring life to those he calls us to serve. In return, he will give us abundant eternal life. You know, sacrifice and self-denial are synonymous with following Christ, unlike what some tele-evangelists would have us believe. The church also needs the challenge of the cross today. The church, as the body of Christ and his followers, also has a cross to bear as it fulfills Christ's mission. And sometimes it involves making decisions that will not please everyone. Does our church, our congregation, offer a faith strong enough that it can command a sacrifice? Can any churches in today's me-first culture ask its people to sacrifice something for the sake of the gospel? The pain and suffering of the cross and the spending of self for Christ are a part of the Christian life. The life of self-denial and sacrifice of which Jesus spoke has been real enough for those who would follow him throughout the last 2,000 years or so. It has filled the meditations of saints and martyrs, as well as offering rich metaphors for sacred poetry and hymns of the church. And it's a very present reality for many in our world today who are being persecuted and indeed slaughtered because they bear the name of Christ. Today we're reminded that our confession of faith has consequences and shows itself not only in public worship, but through our words and our deeds in our daily lives. Peter's story reminds us that it's not one incident alone that makes a life. And though we fall again and again and again and again, it's the getting up that marks the true child of God. So we offer our lives and surrender to Christ's purpose. The waters of our baptism still bubble up inside us and enable us to confess with Peter that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. They also constantly renew in us the willing spirit that says yes to our own taking up the cross to follow Christ. To him be all glory, honour, majesty and praise. Amen.